John chapter 4. Got to get all this stuff hanging out. I had it heated up here on me. Amen. John. Familiar story tonight. We're going to look at, and sometime our familiarity takes us and we overlook some things. And I want to try to bring some thoughts out on this chapter here. We get complacent in our living sometime, our Christian living. And Jesus, I believe, said it was a need for him to go down to Samaria. And going down to this place, he had some intent there. One intent was to see that lady by the well. But I believe his biggest intent was to take them 12 down there. Teach them a few lessons. Sometime in our personal walk with the Lord, we need some lessons taught. The Lord does an awful good job of it. Three times in the New Testament, Jesus made reference in Luke chapter number 10, verse number 2, "Therefore saith he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And it's harvest time here in the time of the year for the farmers are getting crops in. It's kind of a rough harvest time, wouldn't you think? David's got some grain out and ain't got it harvested yet. We always had our grain harvested in the month of June, and we started right as soon as school was out, and our grain was in before 3 weeks was out. We all had our harvest time in because that is the greatest time when the grain is ripe and ready to go. Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest." Matthew 9, verse number 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion upon them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Then here in John chapter number 4, this familiar story with this woman at the well, and we'll not read all the beginning part of this chapter here, but back in verse number 35, the disciples had just come back and they'd missed the conversation that the Lord had with the woman at the well there, and got back at the very end of it, verses number 26 and, or actually verse number 30. "Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he saith unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore saith the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that has sent me, and to finish the work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. But behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the field, for it is white already in the harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And I send you to reap that whereon ye have bestowed no labor. Other men labor and ye are entered into their labors." Let's have a word of prayer. And we're going to look at this passage of scripture tonight and pull out some things. I want to help us to possibly, if the Holy Ghost will help us this evening, to get us to see some things. What do you see? Jesus tells his disciples, says, lift up your head. Look. So the fields are white already under the harvest. And I feel so many times that we ride by these wheat fields and see them still standing, and we have no concept of what's the value of that field. And the Lord's bringing our attention all the way around to a generation of time. And if it was real in this generation, it's just as much real in our generation as it was then. And the Lord's asking us personally. We are learners. You're here on Wednesday night and we are disciples. We are learners. And He's wanting us to see some things. Do you see what He sees? Do you ever ask yourself, Lord, do I see what You see? And many times we don't. God had to jerk a knot in my backside and juvenile facility up in Ohio to get me to see what He saw. When I looked at 450 boys, there was sex offenders, and I was wanting to cut all their heads off and puke in the lungs and kick them off into hell. I had a real spiritual ongoing right there. How do we see things? A lot of times we as God's children, we don't see what He sees. Remember coming up on that farm and Dad, us youngins, we was out there, we just youngins. Coming time to put stuff in the ground, we was out there with Dad helping him put stuff in the ground. When come time to chop cotton, we was all out there in that cotton field with our hoe hounds and every one of us out there hoeing cotton. We saw it. We saw it coming up out of the ground. We saw it as it's coming up and keeping the weeds out of it. We also was there whenever it was time to gather in the grain, gather in the cotton. We rode that combine and tied those sacks and rolled them off out in that field and go load them up on that wagon and take them down in that old crib down there and dump them off and that thing and spread it out. I never did see what my daddy saw. I was just laboring. I had to get out there and sweat and didn't have a back-breaking job. Me and my brother out there had to get all that stuff and put it up in there and just sweat rolling and all this thing. My axle broke in the tractor, and I remember one time and the axle on the wagon broke one time. I was just so aggravated, just trying to get the crop in. But my daddy saw more than what we saw. And the value of that grain as it's going into the barn. We as human beings, we name the name of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God that is sent to us as God's children to be able to have part of God inside of us. And we live our lives in such a way that we don't want to get focused in on what the Father is focused in on. Then we're in bad shape. We're just like a bunch of little sport brats like we was out on that farm out there. Well, we was getting the job done. But it's not until we come up to some age that was on us that we actually saw the value of that grain going in that barn and making provision for us for the months that lie ahead. Let's have a word of prayer and let's ask God to help us this evening. And we'll not spend a whole lot of time, because if we do, then I'll have to help clean up.
She says, keep it short over there. If you know, we want to clean up tonight.
I said, I'll help you. I know I got two pages up here. Miss Judy said, give me one of them. Everybody want to go tomorrow. Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You for this time that You've given to us. We sure ask that the Spirit of God would give us clarity of thought, dear Lord, as You have worked upon my heart, dear Lord, in this thought, dear Father, as I run across that verse of scripture, dear Lord and Holy Ghost. Stop me just a little while. God, help us, dear Lord. We'll see what you see. We are your children, dear Lord, and we're admonished in these verses of scripture, Lord, to pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he might send forth laborers into the field. For the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. And our Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us and stir us, dear Lord, that we would be more about your business, dear Father, than this old earthly business, dear Father. Give us, dear Father, tonight that which we have need of. May the Spirit of God take the words that are said, dear Father, tonight and take it to the hearts of your people. And Lord, they might not be a word said tonight, but we know that the Holy Ghost of God knows how to take it and put something to it, Lord, and take it to a heart that would never be able to get away from it. We pray, our Father, Lord, that you would bless and help in this hour, Lord. And we so thank you and praise you for what you accomplish in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We was down in Alabama a couple years back, and we have one of our missionaries, Fred Hawks, came in from Latvia. And he was visiting several of these churches and raising a little more support. He lost some, and he came back to America to get that accomplished. And he was able to come to the Alabama Blitz, and he stood and he testified that that morning about wanting to get back to, he said the phrase, my people. And there was a black man sitting there in the meeting. He had joined the Rock of Ages, and he was down from St. Lucian Islands, and he was there in that meeting there, and he'd been into America, and he'd been working with Rock of Ages down in South Carolina, a tremendous man of God, and been a tremendous witness down there in the prison down there. But he was sitting in that meeting that morning, and when Fred Hawks stood and said that, talking about his people, and Fred from Mount Airy, North Carolina, he was talking about the Latvian people over, I want to get back to my people. And his heart was burdened for the people over in Latvia. And Francis Thomas was sitting there that morning, and the Holy Ghost of God nailed him right there in his heart, and he said, my people. My people? What am I doing for my people? He said, I've come to America and I've learned Jesus Christ and God's dealt with my heart and I'm now a preacher of the gospel, and what am I doing for my people? I'm talking about a man that's 76 years old. Came with a ministry. He thought he was going to come with a ministry and finish out his days here in the States and be a missionary with the Rock of Ages prison ministry. And all of a sudden a man stands and talks about a people that he wanted to get back to. And there Francis Thomas, sat there, and the Holy Ghost nailed him. He said, what are you going to do about your people? Brother Thomas is down there, just came back this past week from a 2-week survey trip, going back down there to the St. Lucian Islands down there to open every prison system in those chain of islands going down through there. And God's given him a 10-year plan, and God's burned his heart for his people. What does it take for us to get our eyes open to the field that is white already into harvest? We think sometimes, well, I'm too old to do these things, or I'm too young to do this thing, but I'm saying to you, us, all of us ought to ask God to help us that we'll have our eyes open to the fields that are all around about us. I think about these verses of scripture here as we went down through there, and he took these disciples out there to this place of Samaria. It's a certain field that had been discarded over to the side. The gospel came by the Jewish people. Jesus Christ was in this, and he said the gospel was unto them. But all of a sudden on this trip, Jesus said it was a must needs that I go by Samaria. And that woman at the well said to him, thou being the Jew, what are you talking to me? Why, thou being the Jew, you know Jews don't have anything to do with us. Jesus dealt with her in her sinfulness. I'm glad the Lord don't, and how he deals with people. He had no bad connotations toward this girl, did he? We sometimes, we look at folk and I mean, he knew she was going to be there. He sat on that well waiting on that girl to come there. I wonder if we would have sat by that well knowing who was coming. I believe we'd gathered up our little stuff and we'd have scurried off into town and said, I've got business to do in town. I've got to go. This woman's coming down this way, Daniel. I can't be saw with her. But Jesus stayed at the well. And he brought his disciples down there because he had a lesson that he wanted to teach them boys about a discarded field that needed to be worked. And he said, I want you to lift up your eyes, for this field is white, already to harvest. I was thinking about the sight of the Savior. Now I know he's a Savior and I know that he sees more than what we ever think and see. He hears more than we ever hear. I believe the Lord had heard this woman's cry before he ever got there. Can you see the misery? I mean, I don't believe it's any more prevalent today as it was in that day that this woman had been with five men and the one that she just living with now. And I believe the relationship probably wasn't right as it is today. Misery. Can you imagine the misery that's in families today when our divorce rate is at 55% in America? Can you tell that the anger and all this stuff is going on? And gather this, that 25% of that 55% is in the church. That's a national statistic. And I know it gathers all the churches together, but I'm saying it's becoming prevalent in the independent Baptist churches that the families are tearing apart, and who's the recipient of it all? The children. Jesus stayed at the well because he had a purpose at that well, and he brought his disciples there because he had a lesson for them to learn. What do you reckon he saw? He saw the lady there. He said, don't say you that there's 4 months. Then we're going to start harvesting. These boys just got there and all of a sudden she leaves her pot and heads back to town. Lord, won't you just go ahead and eat something? The girl's gone now we can eat. He said, wait a minute. He said, I've already been eating meat that you don't know of. I come to do the will of the Father. Shouldn't we be in that aspect? Are we like his disciples? We too busy in the feasting and the eating, and yet the Lord here has a desire. He's had a purpose there of this lady coming there, and he wanted to take his disciples there and let them see what your purpose is here, men. What's your purpose? What he saw was the sure plenty of that harvest. The greatness of the harvest. And most Jews would not have spent the time there, but whenever the crowd got there, they sat around and he talked with them for just a little while, and then all of a sudden they pressed upon him and said, won't you abide with us a few days? And he stayed there yet 2 days. Now that's probably more than them Jews want to have put up with that crowd over at Sychar. Lord, we got to stay here in amongst all this crowd. Lord, don't you know who we are? We're religious folk. we're Christians. We can't hang around that type of people. What is your type? What is your type? We typeset today. We have our group we just want to click into and have our part with that, just that certain little group right there. But what if the Lord jerks you up and takes you down to Sychar? Puts you in a mix of the mixed multitude. The interracial marriage group. The Lord saw things there. He saw the need was great. I mean, he had his 12 there, but he still saw there was a need great just there in that little town. 12 men that followed him along, and he's trying to teach them things. He was trying to show them that the need right here in this little old town is great. And are we going to abide here for 2 days? And the Bible says many believed on her because of her word when she went to the town and brought him back. But they said to her, he said, hey, we understand it now. We know who he is. We believe him because of his words. What is our testimony like? Appreciated the service on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. I sat back in the Holy Ghost, just run up and down my side. I said, hallelujah. I said, preach, preacher, preach. I said, get on with it, out there, preacher. That's some good stuff. The gospel. How great is it? It's great enough to save an old alcoholic. It's great enough to save an old dope addict. It's enough to save an old harlot. Woo! She stood and testified. Come see a man. Told me all things ever I did. Is this not him? If there's something inside of our lives, we ought to have the same as that lady there had. If God's made a cleansing agent to come inside of us and the Holy Ghost of God fills our lives up, there ought to be something coming out that if the need is great and the assistance is great as well, God sends help in the time that we can be able to testify. I was out there in these character training classes and I told that gentleman out there, the lieutenant, I said, he said, I want character classes teach, but I'm having a hard time with Chaplain Taylor. He got these guys over there, all this preaching stuff in here. He said, now, hold on now. He said, I'm on your side. I said, I appreciate that. But I looked at the lieutenant square in his face. I said, sir, you do know our lessons. We have a biblical base to it. And I said, we're going to lay some scriptures out to these boys. And they're going to have an understanding about what the Bible said. Yeah, I had no problem with it. But I said, we're going to build character according to this Bible. He said, I have no problem. After 2 days, we went back to his office and I said, give me some evaluation. I want to know how I was doing. He said, well, Mr. Hildebrand, I have nothing to say. He said, but I went in those classes, I had it figured out, I'm gonna have to pull the reins back on you. I said, really? Yes, sir. But he said, you related those scriptures to your lesson. He said, I thought you delivered it awful well, but I said, after that second day, the Holy Ghost of God moved in that place, and I felt the power, the presence dealing with those men in the classroom there through the scriptures. Why? Because I started testifying how good God been to me. I couldn't contain myself after the Spirit of God come over me. I just couldn't contain myself. The lieutenant sitting in there, I just had to tell him how good God had been in my life and how he changed my life and how he made my life different. And he was no respecter of any persons in that classroom. And he got under conviction. Hallelujah. And he moved in there again today. I'm grateful for the Spirit of God knows how to take the Word of God and bring about convicting power on men. But I'm saying to you, we got to be in that place. We got to be in that place like this lady was at that place. She showed up at that place. But I'm saying the Lord made difference in their personal life. And I'm saying to you, if God's made difference in there, do we see like the Savior sees? I asked God, I said, God, I want to see what you see. I'm sick and tired of being just me going into a place and not being accomplished things that I feel like sometimes in myself. I said, I'm a weak vessel and I need something inside of me that I can see like you see. I want to hear what you hear, Lord. You know, when people open their mouths, they got something to say. A lot of times we got more to say than we think that people have people to say. But if we'll listen like Jesus listened to this lady here at the well, he had ears to hear. He heard some sounds that nobody else could hear. The sight of the Savior. The surety of that scene. At this place here, there was something in verse number 35. Say ye not that there is yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Jesus said, I'm saying to you, he saw some things. There was a surety in his voices there. He said, I want you to look. I want you to lift your eyes up. Don't just be looking at the ground. I want you to lift your eyes up like he lifted his eyes up. And he said, I want you to see. He had a desire for those men to see exactly what he had to see. And I'm saying to us as God's children, why do not we have that same desire walking through this old sin-cursed world? Walking, I mean every day walking. I ain't saying on Thursday night visitation, Saturday visitation. I'm saying Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday visitation. We get stuck in this independent trash that we got our living, that we think we got to have it pinpointed at a time, but we go visit it. What's wrong with the gas pump? What's wrong with the schoolhouse? We can't do that. No, we can't do that. You can do that. Yeah. We feel like we live our lives all clammed up, and Jesus has asked us, we're his servants. I know we're in the field. They were in the field. They were disciples, but Jesus wanted the disciples to lift up their eyes. See what the Savior saw. You better mark some things down. Whenever God sees things and he asks us personally to lift our eyes up because he's wanting us to see what he sees. And we need to see what he sees in this generation. I'm like Brother Tony right here. We ride down by a house. We know where some couple queers at. We won't take a gas can down there. We like to chunk our food through the window. But that's real religious though, ain't it? That's a real good preacher thing, ain't it? Yeah. But some of you live it. I'm going to get Tony. We're going to go down there. We're going to knock on their door. Huh. Yeah. Why should we let them live like that? Jesus didn't let that woman live like that. He took a trip. Some of us need to take a trip. The harvest is sure, and I'm saying to you, it's plenteous, and God says our labors are few, and we need to lift up our eyes like the Savior lifted up his eyes and say, all right, disciples, lift your eyes up. I want you to see what I see. The grain's laying in the field. What was that farmer that had about 500 bushels of grain, can't sell a dab of it? He harvested, he's got about 500 bushels in the grain room. Took it to the sellers. They said it's worthless. You ever had a worthless crop? Ain't too many farmers in here, but there's a few of us. Had to plow some under. Fertilizer, seed, labor, all of it just plowed under because it was no good. I think that's what the Jesus was looking at. He was looking at, he said, the harvest right now is plenteous. And he said, if the laborers don't get to the field right now and harvest what's there, he says it's going to be worthless. When's our time up? I don't know. What's our nation like? It's a mess. It seems like the worse this nation gets, the less God's people open their mouth up and speak the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the less it will stand up and stand up for truth. I'm talking about the inconspicuous places. That's where it's going to count. It ain't going to count going down there, standing somewhere, holding your signs. I'm a Christian and all that's good. But it's going to take the one. You better mark her down. It ain't in the multitudes. Jesus stayed there at that well for one. And that one made difference in the town of Sychar. I wonder if there's one in this building right here will make a difference in this piece of ground we're living on right here in Rowan County. Huh? Oh, we're waiting on Jim Sides to get her done up here in the county commissioner's office. Oh, we got to stay with Jim. Jim got the voice. Oh, what's wrong with your voice? You do a lot of rattling on Facebook. Why don't you get your face in his book and then get out there on the streets and talk about it? I tear you up again, don't it? I can get you because I don't have it and don't want it. Ain't got no time for it. That's all you got time for, then you need to be in the field. Somebody say amen or on me right there. The surety of that scene. He had a desire for them to see. He brought them, developed them to see. He delivered the believers for them to see. Verse number 29. Come see a man who told me all things ever I did. It's not this to Christ. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse number 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the sayings of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans came unto him, they besought him to tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own words. Woo! I'm glad the Savior knows what he's doing. We like to see it right now, nasty now. That's the way we like to live our lives right now. Miss Judy and I was down in Faith Baptist Church. We stopped on the way down going to Florida. We just pulled it up on the internet to find us a church to go to on Sunday morning because we had to be in Conyers, Georgia on Sunday night. So we was going stopping on church on the way. Faith Baptist Church, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. That's had to be a good one. Just whoop over in there about 4 or 5 miles off the interstate. We'll go in there and worship with them. We'll go on down the road. On this side of the church over here, off in the wing over on this side over here, is a group of guys sitting over here on this side over here. And Mr. G said, I wonder who all them boys are. I said, that's the Amen Corner. She said, Amen Corner. Did you see what they look like? I said, yes, ma'am, that's the Amen Corner. I didn't know what it was, but across the street, I didn't even see the sign. Crossroads Ministry. Crossroads Ministries, there's several across the state here that they're getting guys coming out of prison. And to get them a place there to stay and teach them a few things and get them back into society. And this guy started his crossroads ministry. There's about 40 boys sitting over on the Amen Corner. Preacher introduced us and said, we were visitors there at the church. And he said, Hildebrand, why don't you stand up, testify, tell what the Lord's doing. I just got up, testified for about 5 minutes. You know how I am. Just jumped up and testified a little bit. How good God's been. What was he going? Where was he heading? Preacher, I'm in tremendous message that morning. And as soon as the amen was given, we're sitting over in the middle by where David was there, and we'd got up and we started to turn around there to back out of the pew there, and there was one of them amen boys over there. Stuck his hand out. He said, "You don't remember me, do you?" That's what it is. I said, "No, sir." He said, "Back in 99, you come to where I was at. 99. He said, "That family, I want somebody to go see him. Get him in church." He said, "You took my name and their names. We can't go see him, but I found a church and sent it to him." He said, "They in church today. My family's in church." He said, "I'll be joining up with them here pretty soon. Payday. Payday." The crop had been in. It was in the barn, but I'm saying to you, payday from his Judy and I. It put some fuel in our tank. It put some down our soul. It made difference. Hey, it put some more gold down in our bodies. I'm over there sowing some more seed over in that little hole over here. They got them all pinned up in. We're going to have some boys right here. Some of my boys. Some hometown boys. Getting all the sheep is around here. We're going to get some of the boys in here. Some of my crowd. I've been asking God make difference. We can see the crop come up right here in Rowan County. Some men with some fire in their soul to go out and be a good witness for the Savior. Are you listening? He was developing them to see. He delivered them that they could believe. I mean, God delivered some souls right there in front of their eyes. He said, "Here's what I want you to see. This is the group I want you to get a hold. The harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. Here's what I want you to do, boys. Come and do it." I think about the sacredness of the sheaves. Had alliterated. But it sure is a blessing. Blessings in the bundles. Come on now. Blessings in the bundles. Can you imagine in that day over on the other side? Miss June, are we waiting for night from 99 to 13 to get a little bit of what's going to be going on the other side? Hey, do you remember me? Come on now, I'm saying on the other side. There are going to be people coming up. Hey, do you remember me? You knocked on my door. You picked me up on the bus. Do you remember me? When y'all come by my house and you pick me up on the bus, I remembered your time. You come in and you got some of us ready to take us to church. Come on in the house because mom and daddy was passed out on the bed. Do you remember me when you walked across that yard full of beer cans where we just had a party the night before and you gathered all of us up and you brought us to the house of God? Do you remember me? You see, the Lord knows when it gets to the barn, when we all get to the barn, there's going to be some rejoicing up there. I know the labor now is tiring and is just wondering if any of them, me and John were just talking over there, we go to these places right here and you say, it seems like, well, are they really getting it? Is anybody going to turn out? I don't know, but the one down there in South Carolina got it. I don't know, but there's one kid over there in Vietnam, he got it. He's a missionary. There's a preacher over in St. Louis down in the inner city. He got it. over in Boonville, Missouri. He went to Bible college and it stuck. But they will not know what God's done through the ministry of this rock, of this Gospelite Baptist church, through the bus ministry and through the Christian schools and through this Bible club. Even standing on a street corner out here. Standing down there in a jailhouse and down here in Salisbury. We'll never know until we get there. And God of the harvest will give the reward that he promised to us in Isaiah chapter 9. You see, there's going to be a blessing in the bundles over in glory. I'm saying to you, we'll not know the measure of the treasure that's on this life right here that we're living in right now. We'll not know the scope of those that have gotten saved. We won't be able to measure with our own thinking when God reveals it down in glory. And we see what all has been done and the scope of those that we said, they didn't get it. I don't know whether they got it or not. There's a kid sitting over there at apartments over on Clancy Hills one Saturday morning. Bad drug deal. Snorting out all his coke there because he had a bad drug deal and they was coming after him. He was spaced out and his eyes were bloodshot. I walked up the steps and saw the kids and came back down and just let him sit there. Holy Ghost, when I come down the steps, he's sitting on that bottom step down there. Looked up at me whenever I come by, bloodshot eyes. I went on, I got down about 5-6 steps down, the Holy Ghost said, go back, Hildebrand. He drunk, he ain't gonna hear nothing, go back. I argued with God about 5 more steps and I went on back and sat down with him. Took a gospel tract and read it to him about 3 or 4 times. I said, sir, I don't know where you're getting anything I'm saying. I kept reading over that gospel tract. I said, sir, all you got to do is ask Jesus Christ to become your Savior and I promise you on the authority of the Scriptures, He'll save you. I'm going to leave you this gospel tract and you just pray and ask God to save you whenever you want to. And left. 1 year later. Walking across that same parking lot to the back unit back there and a kid standing up there against the hood of his car leaning up this way. Kids coming out wanting the bubble gum. Hey, Brother Rick, Brother Rick, Brother Rick. Y'all know how that was. You pass out your bubble gum. They don't want the bubble gum. That dude leaning against the car says, hey! You Brother Rick? I didn't know whether to run or what to do. Black man leaning on his car hood on that piece of ground over here. You better know something on you, Brother Terry. But he's dressed right. Clean, upright. I said, the Holy Ghost said, go back. You Brother Rick? I said, yes, sir. Been coming here for quite a time. They were looking for you. I said, looking for me? He said, yes, sir. He said, you remember right over at that building? He pointed right toward that building. And the Holy Ghost just brought it all back to man 1 year before. Man sitting on the bottom step. He said, been coming back here to look for you. I just want to tell you thank you. I did what you said. God saved me. And I'm in church, and God made a difference in my life. I just want to come back and tell you. I don't know where he's at today. God's got the measuring stick. God's got the measuring stick. And the blessing that's in them bundles, God's going to make difference to whom he will. And those that surrender their all to him, God's going to take their lives and make difference out of their lives in this life. I'm waiting on that day over on the other side. Y'all know the scriptures in Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had your conversation in times past, and lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together in Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Revelation 7:9 says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Woo! With a palm in their hand. Hallelujah. What a day. When all the bundles are gathered in. Can you see like the Savior sees? Or are we just stuck in our own little, seeing how we want to look at it? Oh, that's the all missionaries. No. I had it before I became a missionary. God's done a work in the side of our heart, in our personal lives as his children. He wanted to bring us a lesson. Do you see what I see? Children, do you see what the Savior sees? Ask God to help us. We'll see what he sees. In this generation time where we have, our nation's such a mess, could God raise us up that we'll make a difference to those we come in contact with day in and day out, and it not just be a, well, it's raining too bad. I don't reckon we'd be able to do anything today. God sent the rain this spring, hadn't he? It's the reason why that farmer's got 500 bushels of wheat in the grain bin. That's worthless. God sends us the rain. He also sends the sun to shine on us. We'll be able to produce something for the Savior while there's yet time. Let's don't let the taters rot in the ground. Let's don't let the wheat rot in the field. Let's be faithful about the Father's business. Let's stand to our feet this evening.